Southwest Airlines is inspecting dozens of its jets after Friday's mid-air nightmare.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Southwest Airlines has already found three 737-300s with cracks, like the one suspected of causing a Southwest plane to lose pressure and make an emergency landing in Arizona on Friday. For more on what all this means for the company and the safety of a popular model of plane, let's bring in Marketplace's Gregory Warner. He's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how popular is this 737-300, and should people who are flying it now be concerned?
Well, there are over 900 of this particular model in the air. It's an older model of 737. They're mostly used outside the United States. But that is the question. Is there something special about the 737-300 that gives it a shorter shelf life than other models that have been in the air for longer periods of time and show no problems? So I called Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly. He said it would be comforting to think that these cracks were something that Southwest could have easily detected.
Has ramifications in some pretty distant...
Greg...
But this wasn't. You know, the flaw here was hidden beneath where different pieces of metal overlap.
In other words, it was a crack in a place that maintenance crews would not have checked on a regular basis.
And Greg, what goes through an airline's mind when they're responding to news like this?
Well, Southwest has one of the safest records in the industry, and they fly more passengers than any airline in the world. Now they're in damage control, canceling flights, checking out these planes, basically doing whatever they can to avoid a second incident, because this is an industry where passengers don't care about statistics. People don't pray before they get into a car.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, Republicans and Democrats in Washington have until the end of the week to agree on billions of dollars in cuts or force a government shutdown. The cuts that are being considered would affect all kinds of things, including sites like data.gov that are designed to make the federal government more open and efficient. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, sites like that could go dark at the end of May.
More than half a dozen websites that publish government data about contracts and spending online are on the chopping block, including
USAspending.gov, which is often referred to as Google for government.
Daniel Schumann at the Sunlight Foundation says that site's a great way for average citizens to track their tax dollars. And Schumann says similar sites have helped budget hawks identify and cut $3 billion in unnecessary programs in the past 2 years.
Many leaders in Congress, Democrats and Republicans in the House and in the Senate, have come out in favor of USAspending.gov, data.gov. They've been praised that hearing after hearing, event after event. So it's particularly surprising that it's now on the chopping block.
Right now, the House and Senate have pegged the e-governance budget at its 2008 level, or $2 million. The White House says it would take about $34 million to keep all these websites up and running. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across the globe this morning. Oil is at a 2.5-year high. That strong jobs report from the Labor Department on Friday sent the price of crude bubbling up to $108 a barrel. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added on 56 points to close at 12,376.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
Today, one of the biggest names in the blogosphere is moving to a new home. Andrew Sullivan, who attracted more than 1 million people per month to the website of The Atlantic, is leaving for The Daily Beast. Marketplace's David Gura reports now on the value of a blogger.
Two beagles, Dusty and Eddie, guard Andrew Sullivan's loft. It's spacious, but he feels more comfortable in his blog cave behind a velvet curtain.
It's a narrow room. It's got slate floor, got two big windows and an old mission chair covered in rugs.
Every morning, Sullivan downs coffee and ginger snaps as he wades into the web.
The belief is that Everything that needs to be said now has already been said somewhere. We just have to find it.
And, he says, create a community conversation about it. Today, he moves that community to the Daily Beast. It's paying him handsomely to bring in new visitors and online ad revenue. Edward Felsenthal is the Beast's executive editor.
It's not just about adding numbers to the Beast's readership, although we're glad for that. It's about adding repeat visitors and engaged visitors and smart visitors.
The kind Fortune 500 companies love. College-educated, well-off readers who spend a lot of time on one site, if statistics from The Atlantic's ad department are any indication. Almost 5 years ago, The Atlantic was an old magazine looking for online readers when editor James Bennett brought Sullivan on board. Today, he says he's sad to see Sullivan go.
He's got a much bigger audience. We've got a much bigger audience. This has worked really well for all of us, and we're all going to be fine, and we're all going to be friends, and, you know, we're all going to stay in the same fight to keep doing great journalism.
By the time Sullivan left, one in every five visitors to theatlantic.com read his blog. Last year, that helped the magazine sell more than $6 million worth of online ads and turn a profit for the first time in at least a decade. Now, the Daily Beast gets to capitalize on Sullivan.
I love the idea of the possibility of individual writers, unknown writers, slowly building readerships through this chaotic world of the web, then finding a point, a tipping point,
where a media company realizes they're worth something. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, as baseball season gets underway, Facebook wanted to see which teams are the most liked. Well, here are the statistics. Phillies fans are the most loyal because they are least willing to like other teams. The Yankees, the Indians, and the Blue Jays have the most fair weather fans who only like them when they're winning. More details at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, which, by the way, is home to the two teams that are the most lacking in Facebook friendship. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of businesses are converting to clean energy because, you know, it's good for the planet. But it's a pretty sweet deal for them, too.
As the price of traditional power increases, our prices generally stay flat.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Going green to save some green. We'll have the numbers and the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.